And we're doing this series called Courageous Christmas. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the courageous response of Joseph. When the angel came and said, Joseph, you are to take Mary home to be your wife. You are to give this child the name Jesus. You're to name him publicly, meaning you own him. You proclaim him as your own. And today, we're going to look at Mary. We're going to look at the courageous servant Mary truly is. Now, I want to be careful this morning because I don't want to venerate Mary to a status that she's not worthy of. And I don't want to venerate her to a status she's not capable of fulfilling, nor one that she sought out. She didn't seek it out. Mary's obedience to God is to be celebrated indeed. However, Mary is not worthy of our worship. She is not worthy of our worship. Only God is worthy of our worship. It's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods except me. We should only worship our God. But Mary does live out what it looks like to be a courageous servant. And that's what intrigues me about her. And that's what captures my attention about who she is as a young teenage lady getting ready to give birth to the Savior of the world. What a courageous servant she was. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 26. I'm going to read through verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. If you have a Bible, please turn there. If you don't, there should be a Bible in the chair in front of you or beside you somewhere. Lean over and look on your neighbors or pull out your smartphone, download the Bible app, and go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And this is what Luke, the historian, wrote. He said, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Mary was an ordinary girl, but she had an extraordinary heart for God. And God took note of this, and through her, our Savior entered this world in a very real way. Many of you, I know this. However, I know some of you don't know this, but Mary being ordinary meant that she was between 13 and 16 years of age when she became pregnant with the Savior of the world. Her pregnancy came about in a supernatural way. Not because she was supernatural. She was not. But because Christ would be conceived without a human father. So Mary's question, how will this be, is answered by Gabriel. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the angel encourages Joseph also not to fear marrying Mary. With these words, he says this, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. All throughout the scriptures, we see over and over again the reassurance from heavenly beings, the angels, of letting us humans know that what is conceived in Mary is because this is what God desires. It's God's design. It's nothing because of who she is. It's all because of who he is and how he chose her. Matthew states that the virgin was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit in Matthew 1:18. Galatians 4:4 also teaches the virgin birth. It says, God sent his son born of a woman. Now, any other time we read in Scripture, when someone is born, they're born of what? They're born of a man, but not Jesus. He was born of a woman, conceived through the Holy Spirit. From these passages, it is certainly clear that Jesus' birth was the result of the Holy Spirit working within Mary's body. So the immaterial, the spirit, and the material, Mary's womb, were both involved in this. Mary, of course, could not impregnate herself. I mean, she just couldn't do that. And in that sense, she was simply a vessel, like all of us. We're all vessels of the Holy Spirit when he resides within us. He desires to work in and through us, but she was simply a vessel. Only God could perform the miracle of the incarnation. So Luke uses this Greek word called episkiazo, and which is the same word. Now listen, this is what's really cool. This word episkiazo is the same word used to describe the presence of God in the Holy of Holies all through the Old Testament. Okay? That's the same word. So in essence, Mary's womb became a holy of holies. She did not become holier than thou. She was not elevated to that status, but her womb, as being a vessel, became a sort of holy of holies that housed the Son of God for 9 to 10 months until he was mature and born. Because Mary was betrothed to Joseph and not married, we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago if you were here, but becoming pregnant was risky for Mary. I mean, it was risky. Shame would accompany her everywhere because she was pregnant outside of marriage. Now, I don't have to tell you folks, but many of you that grew up back in the 50s or 60s or even the early 70s, you know that if a woman became with child outside of marriage, there's a lot of shame. Even in the 80s, I remember as a kid in school, we had a young lady who became pregnant outside of marriage, and the parents sent her away because of shame, because of humility. That's why they didn't embrace her. They sent her away. Let's get rid of this. Let's ignore this. Let's sweep this under the rug. Back then, it would have been worse, a lot worse. I want us to really wrap our minds just about how risky Christmas really was, that first Christmas. Death at every turn, shame would be Mary's company. Could be death, because remember, Joseph has the right to take her before the city gate, whether we agree with this or not. This is what was going on in the first century. He had the right to take her to the city gate to be judged by the religious leaders, right? And they could have stoned her to death right there. This is risky business. But for some reason, God chose this obedient teenager who is not yet married to show his power. However, this doesn't mean Mary became holy other. Mary is described by God as highly favored in Luke 1:28. And the phrase highly favored comes from a single Greek word, keritao, which essentially means much grace. That's what it means. She had been extended much grace. Mary received God's grace. And remember, grace is unmerited favor. She did nothing necessarily to earn that. It's an unmerited favor that God bestows. That is grace. Grace is a blessing we receive despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mary needed grace from God, and she needed a Savior, just like you and me. Okay, all of us. We all need grace from God, and we all need our Savior, Jesus Christ. Mary herself understood this fact as she declared in Luke 1:47, she said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And so the Virgin Mary, by God's grace, recognized that she needed the Savior. And so the Bible never says that Mary was anyone but an ordinary human whom God chose to use in an extraordinary way. Yes, Mary was a righteous woman and favored. She had received God's grace. She was favored by God. At the same time, Mary was a sinful human being who needed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, just like everyone else in this room, everyone else walking this earth. We all need Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, we can learn a lot of things from Mary's life, and I think we should. But today I'm going to look at the three things that she teaches us about faith and about being a courageous servant. Because I think we all need to be courageous servants, not just Mary. I was thinking about this, and I think what's happened in many of our churches, in this country especially, is we've become comfortable servants, not courageous servants. We're comfortable. God, I'll serve you as long as you don't call me out of my comfort zone. Yes, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll sacrifice that hour of sleep, and I'll be in church every Sunday, and I'll be your courageous servant. That's a comfortable servant. God, I'll witness to my neighbors next door. That's comfortable. I'm sure God's calling us all to something courageous. I don't know what it is, and for all of us, it's going to look different no matter who we are. But I want us to really entertain the idea that God is calling us to be courageous servants, not just comfortable servants. I think we've gotten lax. We've become apathetic. And we just go to church and we call ourselves servants of God. There's a whole lot more to it than that. Have you ever struggled to follow God when He's calling you to do something? I mean, when He's really calling you to do something, have you ever struggled with that? Anybody? I have. Am I alone? I mean, there's a few of us that have. We've struggled with that. Not everybody, but some of us have. Maybe it means leaving behind a life of comfort or giving more money than you feel comfortable with. Or maybe it means giving up something in your life. Maybe it means saying goodbye to loved ones to go where God's calling you, to do what God's calling you to do. God calls us to many things, and we need to be ready to respond. One of my favorite things, and I'm not trying to act like I'm a courageous servant, but one of the things that really intrigues me is how when something uncomfortable comes up, people go, well, God's not calling me to that. Are you sure? You think He's called you to a life of comfort? I think He's called us all to be courageous servants. That's what He wants from us. When we say yes to Him, we say yes to Him, which means we say no to self. That's the Christian life, or at least that's what it should be. So like being a courageous servant, carrying the Son of God like Mary was, this means her life could be in jeopardy. Sometimes God may be calling us to things like that. Mary teaches us that a courageous servant has a willing heart. So the personal application is just this. Do you have a willing heart to do whatever it is that God's calling you to do? Mary was a teenage girl pledged to be married. One day she was greeted by an angel and told that she would give birth to the Son of God. Now, at the beginning, that may sound exciting. Woo, I'm going to be the mother of God. But she knew what all was entailed in that. Can you imagine putting yourself in her shoes? Maybe you're walking home after school or you're sleeping in one morning and suddenly an angel appears and rocks your world, turns everything upside down. Mary's response shows us where her heart was. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Is that our response about everything that goes on in our life? Is that our response at being a courageous servant? She was willing to follow God's call. We don't know what would have happened if she'd responded differently. But she had the right to say, no, I don't want to do this. This is more than I can handle. She had that right. She has free will. You cannot separate free will and the sovereignty of God. I mean, they both work. Even in stories that it looks like this is just what God's wanting, which it was, but she had to be willing. She had to be willing. And she had a willing heart She knew everything that was going to accompany her. She knew other girls who'd gotten pregnant outside of marriage. She knew what ridicule they had experienced. And this she said yes to. I'll do it. Why? Because God was calling her to do this. She was willing to follow God's call. We do know that because of her willingness, through her life, our Savior was born. How many times have we heard the call of God and responded with hesitation, or maybe no? Whether it's an audible voice or a prompting of the heart, I know I can fear the outcome of following God into the unknown. But God doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to commitment. Willingness to follow God's call requires a deep trust that can only come through intimacy with Him. We cannot leap out if we don't believe that God will be there. So how do we develop this willingness? The answer is simply this. We have to spend time with our Creator. Through a growing intimacy with our Lord, we can learn to trust His promises. We must continually spend time with Him in order to find the courage to follow Him. Years ago, probably 25 years ago. I was a student at Eastern Kentucky University. I'd already gone through the military. I'd been working at a prison. I went back to college. I was at Eastern, and I was studying to be a history teacher. It's exactly what I wanted to be. I knew it. I was mapping it out. But I was sitting in a history class, and it was clearly a call from God. I was sitting in this class one day, and the Holy Spirit was whispering in my heart, and that's the only way I know how to describe what was going on with me. And He said, "Hey, Donnie, why are you sitting in this class studying all these dead guys when you could be studying the living Savior of the world, the one who conquered death, the one who truly set history on the right course? Why?" So, in an act of boldness and courage and willingness, I stood up and I walked out of class. I went and dropped everything I had at Eastern, and I enrolled at Lincoln to study Scripture, to study about Jesus. And that's how my call was. Fortunately, I had people in my life who encouraged me, and we'll talk about that, because Mary had people in her life who encouraged her all along the way. You need to be encouraged when you're stepping out and you're following what God's calling you to do. Now, it wasn't all smooth all along the way. I thought God was calling me to one area of ministry, and I soon found out that wasn't my area of ministry, and so I went into a different, and then God's calling me into something else, and so it's a journey. But how do we know what He's calling us to? By spending time with Him. If I had not been spending time with God on a daily basis, if I was not listening to Him, if I had not been in His Word, if I had not been praying to Him, if I had not surrounded myself with people who were praying, people who were in His Word, listening to their advice, all this stuff, if I was not being intimate with God, I would not have heard His call. Or maybe I would have heard His call, but I wouldn't have obeyed it because I would have been living for me. God desires us to be intimate with Him. He leads, we follow. Intimacy happens by spending time with God. You can't be intimate with anyone if you don't spend time with them. It's just reality. Otherwise, you're being self-centered in our relationships with God. And I believe that's where a lot of people in our culture today are. A lot of people in our churches all across this world, that's where we are. We're very self-centered in our relationship with God. It's about self-gratification. We must continually spend time with God in order to develop a willing heart that has the courage to follow Him. Second thing Mary teaches us is Mary teaches us that a courageous servant seeks affirmation. So after Mary hears the message that she will give birth to a son, to the Son of God, she hurries off to her cousin Elizabeth. Now this plays an important role in Mary's journey. She spends 3 months with Elizabeth. So just take a moment with me and imagine what she was going through. Pregnancy was beginning to change her body. And the reality of her calling was starting to take place after 3 months. I've never been pregnant. Shocker. I know. I'm not pregnant now. That's just Thanksgiving, okay? But, and that's by God's design, I'm not, and I'm happy for that. But I am married to a lady who's been pregnant 3 times. She's given birth to 3 children. And one of the things that I believe caught us both off guard when she was first pregnant was how tired you are. But it all makes sense. See, there's another human life. This is the reality. This is what Mary was experiencing. There's another human life developing inside. And that is draining to the mother. It zaps her of energy. And they're down. A lot of them are. It's exhausting, I'm sure. I don't know personally. But she was probably questioning what she'd heard from the angel and whether or not God really called her to this. And this time, Elizabeth humbly housed her and encouraged her. Now remember, Elizabeth is 6 months along carrying John the Baptist, right? Jesus' cousin. With all that she would face, with all that Mary would face in the years to come, it was crucial for Mary to be encouraged in this time. This affirmation and encouragement would give her strength to fully submit to God's call and to be obedient to Him. Sometimes God asks one of His children to walk a very difficult path in order to bring Him glory. Mary, I believe, was one of the ultimate examples of this. Bringing our Savior into the world meant leaving her family. It meant the risk of being rejected by her family and her community. It meant the risk of death at the hands of her church leaders and bringing shame on her household and bringing shame on her future husband. But she did it. Has God asked you to walk a difficult path? Has God asked you to step out of your comfort zone and to move into an area of life where you have to depend on Him, a life of courage? I had a friend of mine back when I was first being called into ministry and all this stuff. His name was Greg. He was actually the best man at my wedding. And Greg was by me the whole time, always encouraging me. Now, both of us, we both suffered divorces from our first marriages. It was a terrible thing. And Greg is now a full-time social studies teacher and a preacher in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. And I'm here being a preacher in Macomb, Illinois. God was calling us to something, and we needed each other to encourage each other. Sometimes you're the Mary, and sometimes you're the Elizabeth. Sometimes you need to speak those words of encouragement to people God's calling into difficult things. Elizabeth was called into something difficult. She was an older woman. I don't know exactly, probably 60, 70 years old, and she's giving birth to John the Baptist. I mean, this is not uncharted because of Sarah, but I mean, this is not the norm. And so here she is giving birth. So, I mean, they need each other. We need each other. Take a look at the people around you today. I really want us to just take a moment. It's okay. Look around. It's okay if you make somebody feel uncomfortable because they're not turning around. But just take a look at those around you, all right? Notice who's around you and ask yourself, how can I encourage them today? How can I really encourage someone in this room today? And I mean, I'm talking a whole lot more than just coming up and saying, hey, how you doing? Oh, because that's what we do. I mean, we get in a hurry. I mean, it's the reality of what it is. But how can you really encourage someone? Who do you know in this room this morning that just needs a real gentle word of encouragement spoken into their life? You can do that for someone. Maybe you can send them a note. Maybe you can shoot them a text this week and encourage them. Maybe it's not somebody in this room that God's laying on your heart. Maybe it's somebody else. You can offer to help them out in some way. Remember Galatians, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians 6:2. He said, carry each other's burdens. Just picture a big bag, you hoist it up on your back. You carry somebody else's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. We sang that this morning, right? Fulfill the law of Christ in that way. And finally, Mary teaches us that a courageous servant offers humble praise. A courageous servant offers humble praise. One of the most important responses to God's call is praise. Praise Him every day. After Elizabeth's affirmation, when Mary came to Elizabeth and she affirmed to her, hey, yeah, this is the child of God growing in your body. Mary, you know what her response was? It was a song. She sang. We call it Mary's song. And she sang this in Luke 1, 46 through 55. So you can follow along with me. It's real close to where we just read this morning. I'm going to read it. You can follow along. And it says this, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. That's doulos. That word servant is the Greek word doulos, and that word means a bond slave. Mary thought of herself as a slave to God. She had no rights. God was her master. That's exactly the way she looked at her relationship with him. She said, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Why? Not because of anything she did. Listen closely. For the mighty one has done great things for me. The mighty one. That's why she's blessed, because of God and who he is. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. What a response. God calls you to do something that's so uncomfortable, that puts your life at risk, and she responds in song of praise. You see, praise, it sets our hearts on God's love. It reminds us of God's provision. We stop looking at, woe is me, what a terrible state I'm in. But we remember, this is God's will, God's design. God will provide. Mary was aware of the prophecies of the Messiah. She knew that God was using her to bless generations to come. Her heart was set on things above, and she responded in humility. Mary lowered herself before the Lord and allowed his will to be her priority. When we come to God in humble praise, our hearts should be open to his guiding. When God speaks to us, we must bring our hearts to this place of humble praise. In doing so, we will be the vessels in which God's glory is shown. We can follow Mary's example and respond to God's call with praise by preparing our hearts. When we're intimate with our Savior, we'll be ready to receive the call and to step out in faith courageously. And when we do, we can praise God that he's the one who blesses and provides. Praising God can come in many, many different forms. The first thing I think of is we praise God when we're in his word every day. Praise him every day by being in his word, drawing closer to him. Many of us, we think of praising God on Sunday mornings in a worship service. We stand in church on Sundays. We sing songs of praise to God. Now listen, that's a wonderful way to recenter our hearts, to worship him with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and realize our desperate need for him. But there's a whole lot of other ways. Praise does not end there. We must continue to praise God throughout the week, through prayer, through reading his word, through music, through our daily actions. The way we serve others is praise to God. So we praise him every day. Take time to pray each day, to be in his word, to serve others, to sing, to enjoy music that's around you. And begin every day with praising the Lord. Spend time singing to him in private. For some reason, I don't know why, but I'm not allowed to be on our worship team. I was singing this morning and Marie shushed me. Shh, that's what she said. Now, some of that might be because I'm tone deaf, but I still love to sing. I love to sing, and sometimes when I'm alone, I sing as loud as I can and I express my praise to God. One of the ways I do it really is through reading scripture. I love certain scriptures, just different ones that just are praise to God. And I'll read them out loud. That's another way you can praise God, is just stand in the middle of your room and read scripture out loud. Sing it back to God. Pray it back to God. He loves it. I mean, what prayer could be better for God to hear than us repeating prayers that are in the scriptures? I mean, sing them to him. Pray them to him. But one of the ones that I go to a lot is Psalm 96. And I want to share it with you this morning. And this is the way I think, if we could start our days like this, this would be a great day. Listen to Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Following God's call in faith and courage requires that we have a willing heart, that we seek encouragement and affirmation from others, and we are that to others, and we praise God in all things. God's call isn't always what we expect. And many times it involves walking through really hard situations. Maybe we suffer. But when we humble ourselves before our Lord, we will find the courage and faith we need to follow him. And he'll bless us. And through us, his glory will be magnified. So here's your question. Are you willing to allow yourself to be a courageous servant for the Lord? Or are you going to continue to just be comfortable?